God just put this on me this morning. And he said, go into all the world. When Jesus came to his disciples, he said, go into all the world, he said, and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And he said, baptize them. And we have a baptism today, by the way. I got a good friend, Jay, today that's going to be baptized here. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Charlie, he said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Larry, do you know why that command is for you? You know why it's for you? And it is for everybody, every Christian. Because he said, lo, I am with you till the end of the age. Now, if he was just talking to his immediate disciples, he would have said, I'm with you until you die. He would have said, I'm with you until 70 AD. But that's not what he said. Jesus said, church, I am with you until the end of the age. That means whatever Jesus taught the disciples, this is a fact. This is logically a fact. Whatever he taught the disciples, he told his disciples, teach them everything that I taught you. And I'm with you, church, even until the end of the age. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus said, the word of God says, hey, behold, I am he that is living. I was dead, and now I am alive, and I have the keys of hell and of death. And Charlie, that's why we don't have to be afraid of death, because Jesus has the keys of death. I'm not afraid of death. And I'm sorry, but I'm not afraid of corona either. I'm not afraid of sickness and disease. I'm not afraid of my enemies. Jesus has the keys of hell. He has the keys of death. He is with me. The Bible says, he said, I, all authority in heaven, hey, and on earth has been given to me. Jesus has all authority. There's no authority that he doesn't have. We pray to a living Jesus. He has authority, and he deputized the church. I have all authority, and I'm in heaven. You're on earth. I'm speaking from heaven. I want you to speak from earth. Amen? Amen. I'm speaking from heaven, and I want you to speak from earth. I'm deputizing you. I've already gone up to heaven. I'm tag teaming you. And I'm saying, church, you're my body. You're my hands. You're my feet. Now you go. Whatever power I have, I'm going to give to you. Charlie, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says that you shall receive power. Do you got power, church? He said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, for you NIV people, after the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to receive power. You're going to be my witnesses everywhere, for all time and for all ages. Folks, Jesus has deputized his church to go in his name, and not only to preach the gospel, but to do the works of Jesus. John 14, 12 says, greater works will you do than I do. Charlie, Jesus said that. Now, I don't think I've ever done greater works than Jesus, but Jesus said it. It's in red letters. That means you can take it to the bank. He says, church, this is my heart for you. I want you to do greater works than I do because I'm going to the Father. You're going to be able to do greater works than me. And when he says works, that word works in the Gospel of John, it's always associated with miracles. Jesus did mighty miracles, NIV. Jesus did mighty works, King James. Works are miracles. Jesus did. Why? Why? Why did everywhere Jesus went, he did good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil? Why is that? It says God was with him. It didn't say God was putting disease on people and the Father and Son were fighting and the Son was healing people and God was making people sick. It said that God was with Jesus when he was healing all of those that were oppressed of the devil. You never saw Jesus anywhere in the Gospels making anybody sick, ever. But everybody he encountered, he put his hand on him. He spit on the clay. He spoke a word and he brought healing and health to them. Because sickness and disease, if you don't know it by now, they're not the friends of the kingdom of God. And I am not afraid of saying it. I used to be, Charlie. I used to be afraid of saying it because not everybody understands that. Do you know when Jesus anointed his disciples in Matthew 10, it says he gave them authority over devils and over sickness? Did you know that? He told his church, he told them, now you go teach people what I taught you. He gave them authority over sickness and demons. And he said, go heal the sick. That was Jesus's platform. He had a platform of compassion. He had a platform of deliverance. He had a platform of salvation. He had a platform of doing good. He was at war with demonic forces of sickness. He was at war with depression. He was at war with oppression. He was at war with every form of bondage. And if you don't know it, there was no sin, there was no sickness, there was no disease in this world until Adam came in and brought a curse on this world. And this world has been cursed since that day. But the Word of God says that Jesus became a curse for us. He didn't know any sin, but he became a curse for us so he could redeem us from the curse of the law. There's nothing but good news and blessings in the gospel that Jesus teaches. So here's what I want to encourage the church. And I don't know how you line up on all those things, but here's how I want to encourage the church in these days. Rather than being the fearful and the trembling and the running, why don't we be the first to offer prayer to those that are sick? Why don't we be the ones that are like Jesus, that are going out and laying hands on the sick? Why don't we be like Jesus, giving people words of encouragement? Jesus said, you are a city set on a hill. Jesus said, you are, church, you are the light of the world. We know Jesus is the light, but he said, you're the light of the world. He said, because his light is in you. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and it searches to the innermost parts of the belly. God lights our candle. God fills us with his Holy Spirit. And he says, now you go and you do everything I taught you, because now you're the light of the world. You're the one that feeds the hungry. You're the one that rescues those that are caught in sex trafficking and those that are caught in bondage. You're the one that offers encouragement. You're the one that extends the hand of grace. You're the one that prays for the sick. You're the one that does the works of Jesus, all of the works of Jesus. You're the one. And my challenge to the church, especially Grace Point, I don't know who will listen to this, but Grace Pointers, but my challenge, wherever you're at in your walk with God, wherever you're at in your faith with God, wherever you're at, take the commission and the commandment of God more serious at this time right now to go into the world. Because if we can't shine during disaster, and if we can't shine during crisis, when will we shine? If we're wringing our hands in fear like the rest of the world, then how are we any different? If we can't believe the promises of God when we need them, how are we any different than anybody else? If we don't have a word in us of encouragement, if we don't have a little bit of faith in us to help somebody else, what good is our faith? This is more than positive thinking. This is more than saying a few prayers and rubbing some beads together, and just, it's way more than that. This is a living relationship with a living Savior. I want to walk in the presence of God. I want to walk, and me and Jesus are walking together. And we're talking together. And he's speaking to me. I'm going to share a story. And I've shared a lot of stories at church, and I've been trying to get away from them. But I want to share this story because it was just the grace of God. And I've got plenty of them. But I was in Giant Eagle, me and Pam. We wanted a few things. We still haven't found our ravioli, Charlie. Still looking for that ravioli. I'm believing God for ravioli. Praise the Lord. But you know, we were in Giant Eagle, and we were walking around, and we saw a young lady that we love. I haven't seen her in church in a long time. She's a young lady, and I know her parents pray for her, and they love her. And she was with her boyfriend and another girl, and we just started talking to her. God just put her right in front of me. That's a coincidence, isn't it, how God does that? It's just a coincidence. And this is a young lady that I love, and she was put right in front of me. I started talking to her, And as I looked over, the Spirit just spoke to me, kidneys, kidney problems. And I turned to the girl, and her name was Addie, and I said, Addie, do you know anybody that has kidney problems? And her eyes got that big. And she goes, yeah. She said, I do. She said, I do. And I said, I want to pray for you. And I had my friend and her boyfriend put her hands on her side. And I prayed for her, and I prayed for her to be healed. And I told that young girl that even in the midst of all this crisis and all this panic, that God was still concerned about her and about her kidneys. And that's why he gave me that word for her. And we prayed, and I don't know what she thought. Charlie, I think she thought I was crazy. I really do. Her eyes got that big. But I was just so thankful. I want more of that in my life. I want to hear from God 24/7. When I go out, I want to hear from God. And I want to take chances sometimes, Charlie. You know, I've missed it a time or two when I've stepped out. Every time I've stepped out, last week I asked somebody if they had a problem because I heard it, and they said, no, they didn't. I said, well, praise the Lord. Okay, good. That's what I was hoping, you know. And I don't always hear from God correctly, but I'm willing to step out more. I'm willing to take more risk and to reach out more. I don't want to live this life like this is the only life I'm living for. I don't want to live this life like this is what matters when I'm going to live in eternity with Jesus. You know, Charlie, one day I've got to stand next to the Apostle Paul. And Paul's going to say, Brother Brad, you were in the greatest revival of all time. There were more people saved in your day than were ever saved in my day. How'd you do? And I'd start mumbling and looking around and hoping someone come. Well, he talked to me about Jesus one time. You know, what am I going to say when I'm standing next to Noah and Abraham? And I got Jesus, the eternal witness of God. What am I going to say that I did with my life? Well, I was trying to save a 401k. I was trying to build up money in my 401k. You know, I had to care for my four and no more. I had to protect. I wanted to be a good dad, so it was my four and no more. What am I going to say when people that gave their lives for the gospel, when they were martyred and hung upside down on crosses and gave their body, what am I going to say to those, that great, I think it's the Moravian guys that sold themselves into slavery so they could be attached to slave ships so they could win slaves to Jesus Christ? And maybe that's why a lot of the slaves in our country came to a knowledge of Jesus, because there were men that did things. What am I going to say around these people? What did you do with your life? I want to have a testimony that I knew God and I did everything that God wanted me to do. I want to say, well, listen, Paul, I didn't measure up to you. I was far from that, but I did what God called me to do. If God calls you to bake cookies, then you bake cookies. If God calls you to serve at the Salvation Army, you serve at the Salvation Army. If God calls you to lay hands on the sick, don't be afraid of anybody. Don't be afraid of criticism. Don't be afraid of rebuke. You lay hands on the sick and you believe God. God is the only one that will judge you. And the Bible says that in the last day, the words that you speak can rise up to condemn you. Did you know that? Let's speak words of faith. God's the only one that has the right to judge you. No man can ever judge you. I exhort you. I encourage you. I beseech you to obey what God is saying. Now, this is my prophetic word. I believe that what Satan meant for good or bad, God meant for good. I believe there is a revival coming. Some people say, Brother Brad, is the world going to end? Well, it is someday. It is someday. Brother Brad, are these the signs of the end times? I don't know. They could be. Is Jesus going to come back soon? He might. I don't know. But what I do know is he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and I'm with you till the end of the age. That is our assignment. We'll let God worry about when he's coming back. We'll let Jesus worry about when the Father says he's coming back. But the church's job is to proclaim the good news of the gospel. The church's job is to proclaim salvation until Jesus comes. The church's job is to do the works of Jesus until the end. And I believe, although there may be many bad signs and things coming on the earth, I also believe we are in a time of great revival. I believe hundreds of thousands or millions or maybe even billions of people are going to get swept into the kingdom of God before Jesus comes back. I believe as the darkness gets darker, the light is going to get lighter. And maybe that's why we hear two stories. One side of the church says things are going to get darker. Jesus is going to come back and rescue us. And the other side is saying, no, it's going to get lighter. And we're going to see more and more people get saved. Maybe we're going to see both. When the darkness gets darker, the light gets lighter. You know, if you're in a lit room, a candle doesn't seem that bright. But when you're in a dark room and you light a candle, it lights up the whole place. Church, it's time for us to rise and shine. It's time for us to go forth in Jesus' name. It's time for us to take our talents, our treasures, our gifts, and submit them to God and say, God, just like the Apostle Paul, what do you want me to do? And that's it. Not what Brother Brad, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? That's all three cameras. I'm nobody. I tell the Lord all the time, Lord, I am weak. I am weak, Lord. I need your strength. God, I'm far from living the life that I want to live. God, I need your presence. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. God, fill me up today. Pour out your love today. I need you, Lord. Who am I? It's not what I tell you to do. It's what the Lord is commissioning you to do. It's what the Word of God tells you to do. If you're not a Christian, you don't know the Lord, and you're fearful, I get it. If I didn't know Jesus, I'd be wringing my hands. I'd be fighting over politics. I'd be strapping my gun on. I might be afraid. But I'm a Christian, and my hope is in Jesus. I'm an ambassador from another world. I'm hearing from heaven, and I'm speaking what the Father tells me to speak. And I'm hearing from my King, and I'm sharing what he's telling me to share. And I'm not going to be afraid of men's opinions anymore by the grace of God. I don't want to be afraid of men and what they think of me. I want to please my master. Paul said, if you please men, you can't be the servant of Christ. I want to be the servant of Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. And I'm free from fear. How about you? How about you? And I'll say this, and I always want to offer grace. I always want to offer grace to people. Jesus is so kind. And I got so much to teach. I had to preach today, guys. I try to teach. I try to be good. It's hard. Jesus is so kind and so gentle and so gracious. The Word says his commandments aren't grievous. He wants to give you everything that you need. He does. But Jesus is so kind. He always meets us where we're at. He always meets us where we're at. If you're down in the dump and your life is broken, he's not throwing new burdens on you. He wants to lift you out of there and say, get up. Don't sin anymore. Get off of that path. Get out of there. Let me give you a hand. Let me pick you up. If you're walking with the Lord and you're going astray, he'll rebuke you. The Word says that as many as I love, I rebuke. I tell them to repent. That's a little different person than the person in the gutter. So he meets them where they're at. He says, get back on the path. To the preacher that's fearful, he says, you better preach it right, boy. You better preach it right. You're a preacher. You're supposed to be speaking my words, not your own. You better preach it right. You want to be a preacher, you better preach it right, or you better fold it up. Jesus wants to meet you where you're at. If you're hurting today, if you're fearful today, if you're oppressed today, I encourage you to let Jesus into your life. I encourage you to go one step further. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit so you can get filled with his power. I encourage you to repent of your sins. Those sins are the things that bring your life down to hell. Jesus is not trying to take anything good away from you. He's trying to take bad stuff away from you and give you the good stuff. Would you repent today? Would you turn and give your life to Jesus? Why don't you pray this prayer with me? And if you're a Christian and you're backslid, or if you're a Christian and you're fearful, or if you're a non-believer and you don't even know Jesus, or if you're stuck in sin, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, but you need to deliver today, you need a Savior today. Maybe you're sick and you need a healing touch. Do you know, even if you don't get healed, the Bible says that God will make your bed in your sickness. Did you know it says that? That's a promise. So if you're stuck sick, say, God will make your bed when you're sick. That's pretty good. I'd like to see God make my bed. I don't want to get sick. He said, He'll make your bed. What I'm saying is He'll meet you where you're at. Would you pray with me today and allow Jesus Christ to come into your life and set you free, primarily from sin and selfishness? But I believe He also wants to touch your body. Pray this with me. Say, Father in heaven, I'm away from God and I need Jesus. I scarcely know that Jesus that preacher's talking about, but I know that I need Him. And I need faith. And I need some hope. And I need some love in my life. So many things have gone astray. What I need, Jesus, is You. And I thank You for dying for me, and being buried for me, and raising from the dead for me. I accept You not only as my Savior, but as my Lord. Not only as my Lord, but as my deliverer. I didn't know You wanted me so free, Jesus. I accept Your salvation. Lord, touch my physical body. Bring me back to health. Lord, touch my spirit. Bring me back to encouragement. Lord, touch my mouth that I say the words that You want me to say. Forgive me, Lord. I believe in You. Amen. Amen. Well, that was a pretty basic message. Wasn't very flashy or fancy. We're going to come back next week. We hope y'all come back live on Facebook. I'm going to try to be good and teach a little bit if I can, but I really feel the preach in me. We'll be back. It'll be Grace Point Utica on YouTube, or it'll be Facebook Live, or both. God bless you. Until next week or Wednesday night. What do I say, Charlie? How do I?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.